a bountiful eye. Over in Proverbs 22, verse 9 says, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor." A bountiful eye. So the idea of the eye would lead us to think of seeing, but the word bountiful would lead us to think of something of the heart. And so if we put those ideas together, we think of the heart being applied to what it sees, or maybe even the idea of opening up our hearts more to see. To have a bountiful eye would be to see a lot, but also to have it affect you a lot. To take the blinders off of our eyes. It's not the idea of going through life indifferently, or it's not the idea of I'll deal with what I see through the spectrums or through blinders on my eyes, and I'm willing to deal with what I see as long as it's in my spectrum. And many things can be blinders to a bountiful eye. Honestly, religion can be blinders to a religious to bountiful eyes. To preconceived notions and ideas can put boundaries in what we're willing to see. But the idea of a bountiful eye would to be I'm not only seeing, but I'm looking to see. I'm looking to see those that need help. I'm looking more to be able to say a word to those that need it, to be open, to be completely open. I think it was some folks in Bangladesh that was talking with me about touching these orphans' life, because there's a lot of these countries, there's a lot of orphans out there, and they was talking to me about these orphans, and they made the comment about trying to get the help for these and feed these orphans and those kind of things. And they asked me a question. They said, would you mind if they were Muslim children that they were feeding? And I said, are they hungry? The guidelines to me wasn't to go down this narrow scope that I would have eliminated children because of the... I just said, no, not if they're hungry. If they're hungry, they fit the taking the... But it's more than that, and just being asked that question. It's looking to find the places that needs the help to actually reach out and look. We can go through our day, and this is not a condemnation, it is saying part of humanity, but to have a bountiful eye means that I am looking. I'm not just going down life like this, but I'm taking time to look in the alley. I'm taking time to look into the side places. I'm taking time to go out of my way. I'm not gonna walk away because there's somebody down this aisle in the store, but I'm going to walk down that aisle if there's somebody there. I'm saying to see the needs that the people have. To have a bountiful eye means that I'm willing to open up myself, to willing to look. And I'm thankful today that there was one that came that had a bountiful eye. Christ had a bountiful eye. When he came to this, he did not discriminate. In that, I know he came to the Jews, and he said that he came. But did he really only touch the... He came to the Jewish nation. He knew what the plan was. His plan was going to go out from there to the whole world. But yet, there was times that he still had a bountiful eye. There was a woman that came to him one time that wanted some crumbs from the table. Jesus even said to him, is it proper to take the children's meat and give it to the dogs? It didn't offend her. But Jesus had spread himself. She gets the blessing of that. And the Lord went out of his way. He went out of his way to go to the Samaritan well. He went out of his way that he would go down there because there was a woman down there that he wanted to go and touch. And he had a bountiful eye for all that he could see. And he didn't allow what I would say we would look at as the disgusting or the... folks, sin is disgusting. And sin has a lot of bad things to it. And we don't take in and we don't fellowship those things and we don't do that. But neither should we turn our face or turn our eyes from the needs that people have. Recognizing always that that was my condition at one point in my life. At one point in my life, that was my condition too. And the Lord had a bountiful eye towards everyone. And my message today is that maybe we would take some of our, not only take the blinders off, but take the blinders off and be willing to turn our head with the desire that maybe there's someone that I can make a difference to in my life. I know that it's not necessarily to say this is what my salvation is, but this is a part of what Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus had, was to be able to reach out his heart, reach out the thing. He knew he had it right, and he knew he could bless. Folks, in our faith, we know that this is the answer. This is the answer. So we live in a world, and I won't go too far with this, but we live in a world to where the devil has made a lot of inroads into some ridiculous ideas and some far-fetched ideas and some places in people's minds and what they are, and it can just disgust us. The transgender things and the things that say, be so far out there. But what I'm saying is, if there's an answer at all, and there is, it's Jesus Christ. Because the root of these things is broken life, a person that's not made whole. Underneath there is that. And the Lord does not want us to build barriers in these things, but I think the Lord wants us to open up the idea that Jesus Christ is the answer for the, just like it was for me. I know the devil's making inroads, but Jesus Christ can make people whole. And for not to look away from that, but is it possible that we can have the grace to smile at anyone and know that our experience is secure, and I can have a confidence in the experience that I have, that I can go up to anybody in any lifestyle and love them, and literally, not a facade, not a fake, but I can really love them and care for them, and I can talk the trivial things of how's the weather and all of those things and smile at them, or maybe help them with their cart, or maybe help them with a thing that they have. Is it possible to have a grace and love for people like that, that knowing that the only help they have really is the only help that all humanity has? It's Jesus Christ is the help. And so the Lord, I think, wants to broaden our horizon and help us to be able, as Christians, to turn our heads and to look and to have a bountiful eye, to be able to see the needs of the people that are around us. And sometimes it's very small little things that touch people's lives. Just to be able to say that somebody cares, or why did they go out of their way to do that? Sometimes I can find that I can go, and there is so many things that just can happen in these little bitty ways around, just to be able to say to someone, how are you doing? And do you know that there is a common response? You come up to somebody and you say, how are you doing? And they say, fine, thank you. Do you know occasionally you'll say to someone, how are you doing? And they'll say, not good. Well, brother, what's wrong? What's wrong? I told this before, but I stopped up at Parmar and was getting gas one day, and there was a man, that was back when they was doing the pipeline deal, and there was a man there. He was a middle-aged black man, and he was there. He was getting gas, and I spoke to him and said, "How are you doing?" And to my surprise, because men aren't as open about these things generally as what women are and things like that, but I said to this man, "How are you doing?" He said, "Not good." "Really, what's wrong?" Started telling me about it. He had lost his wife, and he couldn't get over it, and he was in grieving. And we stood there at the pumps and had the best. I told him we'd pray for him, and he was telling me about what his pastor had told him. And I started telling him about that I lost my wife, and I started relating with this guy. And do you know, he went out of there with a great sense of appreciation and something had happened and had done that. But you can go, I'm not saying, Lord lead us, but I'm saying the only way to really accomplish that is to go away and not keep your blinders off. You can't go down the narrow paths of life and just looking like that. You got to look around sometimes and look and see, Lord, is there someplace you can use my words? Is there someplace you can say this? I want to have a bountiful eye. I want to be able to see the needs and respond to them and be able to make a difference in this life. I'm 60 years old. If I'm gonna do something, I better get with it. That's the way I feel. I feel like my time's running out. Lord, help me. If I'm gonna do anything, I want to make heaven, but it's beyond that. Lord, I want to make a difference. Lord, help me to be able to look around and maybe I can make a difference somewhere with what you've given me. And I've had the privilege of what a lot of people in this world don't get the privilege to sit in service twice a week and listen to the songs and listen to endless messages on the internet. And I got tapes that are sticking out. I mean, all of those things that I've had in my life, I've had the privilege of being able to have a great understanding of things and all that. And there's people that need some of that understanding. And we can walk by them. Oh, so often we can walk by them and never see them. So there's a scripture I won't turn to, but there's a passage of scripture where, if you remember, a man says to the Lord, "Well, what's the great commandment?" The Lord tells him the great commandment, and love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, your neighbor. He says, "Who's your neighbor?" He tempting the Lord. "Who's your neighbor?" Thought he was going to catch him in something. And the Lord tells a story that there was a man that fell. He fell among thieves, and he got brutalized there, and he was they stripped him of his garments, and he was wounded, and he was left to die beside the road. And the Lord's story was that there was a priest come by, and the priest should have had all of the understanding of having a bountiful eye. He should not have only went down the road, but he should have been looking into sideways. He's a priest. He's got something to offer to people. He's the go-between. He can do things. He should have been, obviously, you'd have thought of him as being that way, but he wasn't that way. He went down the road with a very narrow perception of things. And down the road he goes. He's a priest, and this man's a Jew, and he's a servant. But when he sees the man, he voids himself of the responsibility. And it said he walked to the other side. He went, actually removed himself as far as he could on the pathway to absolve himself of the responsibility. And he goes on by, and he did see, but he didn't have a bountiful eye. He only had an eye, he saw it, but he didn't have a bountiful eye. Because only seeing is only half of it. The heart is the other part. The heart to see and do and help. And he walked right on by, and that was a part of the story. And it says also a Levite come by. Well, Levites was given to service the temple, and they was supposed to be people that served and all those things. So a Levite comes by, and he had the same responsibility, and he sees the man wounded. But for some reason, he just goes on by, absolves himself from it, and goes on by. And away he goes, and along comes a Samaritan. It's where we get the term Good Samaritan, because there was a Samaritan come by that had no reasonable responsibility to that man in the culture. They were opposed to one another. They were kind of enemies to one another. And he comes down the same road the other ones did with a bountiful eye. He looked and he found the situation. He found it. Here is a situation for my life. I have found an opportunity, a situation. He comes and there's a man there, and he immediately takes possession of that. My eye seen it. and he had a bountiful eye. And how bountiful was this man's eye? He saw the situation. He actually tends to his wounds and he bounds him up. And he had his donkey, but and I'm assuming only one's going to ride. So he puts the man on his donkey, and that means he's walking and leading the wounded man, and he takes him to an inn, and he pulls out of his own wallet and pays the innkeeper and says, "Keep this man. And if you keep him good, and if you go beyond what I've paid you, when I come back by, I will pay the debt for this man." How bountiful. Jesus said this in response to, "Who is my neighbor?" Am I to say that if somebody's stranded across cheat, that they might be my neighbor? Am I to say that somebody that falls into despair might be my neighbor? Or somebody that falls into financial need might be my neighbor? Am I to look and to say that maybe humanity is my neighbor? That I'm responsible? But I just don't want to take the idea that, well, I'm responsible. That doesn't seem to get the bountiful part to me. The bountiful part seems to be, is Lord, lead my eyes to see what you want me to see. Lead my eyes to the person in the place that you want to use me as a vessel to make a difference to these people. Because I want to be able to make a difference as I go through life. I will say this of my own testimony. Oh, what I find when I look. And what I miss when I don't. I will have people say things to me about what happened around me sometimes when I wasn't watching and looking, and I never know it happens. And I'm like, that happened? Where was I at? What was I doing? Do you know you can sit in a service like this and leave and never know what was said? You can miss the whole thing. You can get into this and you can dismiss it and put it out. But oh, what we can see sometimes when we're looking to see it. How many times that I've been able to say, I remember one time over in Charlottesville Hospital, there was an elderly woman there that was getting ready to go through some procedures that I had already seen my wife go through there. And I come to this waiting room and she was there. And I spoke to this woman, and she was well up in years. And I spoke to this woman, and she was so out of sorts. She was so nervous. She was so out of sorts. If I remember right, her name was Martha. I don't remember what else, but her name was Martha. And it would have been really easy to have dismissed, as most do. That's life, but you walk in and you don't say, and that usually there's a quietness and all. And anyway, I come in and ask her how she was doing, and she had to have this was wrong, this was procedures, and she was all been out of shape. And I started talking with her and told her, oh, let me explain that procedure to you, that MRI, I told her how it worked. There's no pain with that. You're fine in this. And I started encouraging her. Told her, I said, you want to have prayer, and so. And we talked with her and prayed with her and that. And you know, by the time she was wheeled out of there, she had a smile on her face. I never saw her after that, but it doesn't really matter. That's not my point. My point is that there's a bountiful eye, that there is a need. There's a need present. There's something that can happen. Her daughter did come back to me after that. Her daughter comes back and thanked me and said, I want to thank you for what you did for my mom. It made a world of difference to her. And who was ever going to plan such a thing as that? But there's a bountiful eye to look and to see. And supposing you're worried about getting your feelings hurt about it, and maybe somebody will tell you to mind your own business. But I want to tell you, it doesn't happen. It rarely ever happens to me that somebody dismisses me. It rarely ever happens that, and nobody that's really in need does. But there's a whole idea that we can go through, and Lord help us, because we can, I won't be too rough here, but we can narrow Christianity down and leave out a lot of the important parts of it. We can narrow it down to having the church service right, and we can have the garments right, and we can have our this and this and right, and we can actually lose the spirit of what the Lord wants us to have. And the heart that He had, His spirit was that He reached out to people. He loved people. If anything Christianity says, it says is that it's an outreach. It's militant. It goes on conquering. It's conquering more and more. There's something that's driving about it. God wants us to have a heart of missionary everywhere we go, of evangelism everywhere we go. Do you know, to go to some place that's as populated as the Walmart in Elkins, I have found as is a good place to go and talk to people and find people and find people. Do you know that now it isn't the same because these robocalls don't have souls? I mean, honestly, there's computerized things now that it doesn't do any good to witness to. Right? But there is still people on there that's human beings. Do you know that one of the best opportunities that I have found is when somebody calls me? I'm not responsible. They called me, so they have to have some kind of courtesy and some kind of to give me a space. They have some kind of, and I've been able, and you know what I think of them as? I don't think of them as somebody's intruding on me at supper time, which can't happen. But I think on the other end of there is somebody that Jesus loves. On the other end of that is actually a human being that's somewhere in the world, and I like to know, I like to keep in mind where all the congregations that I can lead somebody to is at, so when I ask them where they're at, if it goes to it, I can say, hey, why don't you go to service here? But there are people. There is people back there. For ones that didn't hear this, I got a message on Messenger on the computer, for those that do it, from my Uncle Elmer. My Uncle Elmer was not, I was friends with him, but then I got hacked and lost got it back. I didn't have Uncle Elmer, so I got a friend request from Uncle Elmer. Well, it's Cecil Clevenger, but it's Uncle Elmer to me. Well, the person that sent this, I said immediately, yeah, a friend, my Uncle Elmer. And so I friended this thing, but it wasn't Uncle Elmer. But I didn't know it wasn't Uncle Elmer. I was hoping it was Uncle Elmer. But then it was like one sentence into how I'm already, there was something he said that I said, that ain't Uncle Elmer. But it went on, and it was getting into the fraudulent, get my information type thing. And so I messaged this back and said, okay, it's obvious you're not Uncle Elmer, but you're somebody. And I want you to know that what you're doing is not good and that you don't have to do this. God has something better for you than you defrauding people and trying to steal people's money and do these things. And I want you to know that you can be forgiven of this and you can get on the right path and life can be different. Yeah, I give a big long thing of there. And I said, I know you don't know me, but you have found somebody that cares. And I do care. And if you ever need to talk to anybody, I mean, you can get a hold of me, obviously. I mean, but you're not Uncle Elmer. So it's rare that they do it, but the young man responded to me. And one of the statements I said, are you proud of what you do? And his response was, no, I'm not proud of what I do. And if I had any other option or could get a job or anything, I wouldn't be doing this. I'm actually ashamed of what I do. And that was, I asked him his name. His name was Gilbert. I put his prayer request in here. But he ended up, I asked him to stay in contact. I also asked him to give Uncle Elmer's Facebook page back, but he said he would try. But he was a human being in Nigeria. And said the sad thing about it was he graduated with a perfect score to be an accountant. And he said, that's the sad part of this. I've went to school. I've done all this stuff. And here I am fronting these people. And I end up telling him at the end of it, I want you to know something, my friend. If you need anything, I'm here. But God loves you and you don't have to do this. Gilbert's gone. I was hoping he would come back sometime, but he's gone. But that's what I'm talking about, having a bountiful eye. Yeah, it's thieves and frauds, and we can look at them in a certain way. But we've all been something. We've all been something. And God is looking towards those people. And God can make a difference, and he's the only one that can. And I think Jesus wants us to take the blinders off of all of and realize that Jesus is following after sinners and wants us to have the same kind of heart for the needs and the hurts in the world and around it. And we are to be something. It is important that we have an outward demonstration. It is important people can look and derive something from our lives and say that this is a better life than I've got and all of those things. God looks on the heart, but man looks after the outward appearance. And you can never really allow them to see your heart unless you've got a good outward appearance and you're giving what they can. And that is absolutely true. But we can't miss the idea of what the Spirit of God wants us to really have in our hearts too. And reaching out and having a heart towards those that are out there just like he has. That is the dynamics of the gospel. And Lord, help us never to forget and to do what we can to open up our minds in the day and time that we're in and say, Lord, what can I best do for my day and time to touch the people that you want to touch? I don't know. You all probably heard this story, but Brother Clint related to me. We was talking about some of the missionary stuff, and like I said, you all probably heard it, and I mentioned it to Brother John the other night, but he told me about the starfish story. So if you've never heard it, the starfish story was the story of a guy comes looking, this little boy's out on the beach, and he's getting starfish and throwing them back into the water. And the guy sees that, and he comes up and tells the little boy, he said, there's thousands and thousands of starfish out here. You're never going to make a difference. I have to tell this story my way, but you're never going to make a difference. I mean, you never throw them all back in, and it's almost like it's useless to do. And whether the boy picks up another starfish and throws it in and says, I made a difference to that one. You might not be able to do everything, and of course you never will be. But that one lived. That one made a difference in it. And we're not responsible for every starfish, folks. But I think we're responsible for the starfish that the Lord puts at our feet. But if I go with my head up, I go like this with my blinders on, I don't even know there is starfish. And I never see the starfish that I'm responsible before. And there's things in our life, and Lord help us, this is what I'm talking about. Lord help us to, well let me get a scripture, it's in Galatians. Galatians 6 chapter. Oh, 6 and 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. As we therefore have opportunity, I think if we want to get an analogy of what this scripture is talking about, the analogy would be of sowing and reaping and having an opportunity. For instance, around here, you needn't think about planting corn in September. It might be a warm day, Keith. I mean, it might be perfect. Your soil might be good and everything. It might come up real quick. You might do all that. But you're wasting your time around here planting in September because your opportunity's gone. So there's a time that this is talking about as far as we have opportunity. Do you know that I'm shaped? And I think if you all think about it, you will know too that a lot of who you are as an adult was shaped when you was a child. And things that people said to you and what adults did to you and those kind of things can shape your life in that time. But you have to do it at a certain age to shape. Do you know that's what this is talking about? If you have the opportunity to say a kind word to a young person or to make a difference with a child, you better do it while they're a child because the wind is short. You don't have a lot of time there. But in the spirit of the service today, to have a bountiful eye is to not miss those opportunities, but to look and to be able to say, I can make a real difference here, but I only got a window. So as we have opportunity, as God has given us opportunity in this life, there's people that I've only seen one time. There's people that I know, unless God does a great miracle of some kind of organizational thing here, there's people that I run into and talk to that I know this is my only time. I'm going to have a short visit here with this person, and I will never see them again. Lord, help me to do what I can in the window that I have. We went to Maine a couple times. I met people up there and was talking to them with the full idea that unless God does something, I'm never going to meet this family again. I met a family from Ukraine on a boat up there one time. Mom and a dad and a daughter. And I met them there and talked with them there on that. And mainly the daughter, because she's the one that could speak English, but they was talking with them. And I was there fully knowing that whatever was done here at this time was going to be done, and that was going to forever be it. But by the end of the time, I was telling them about my wife. By the end of the time, they actually had said, we want to meet your family when we get off the boat. But it's an opportunity. It's a window. And Lord, help us to take advantage and have a bountiful eye. To be able to look, willing to look and say, can I make a difference with this in a lot of different ways? Some people, some orphans need to eat. Do you know how thankful someone is that's real hungry that gets to eat and thankful for the hand that reaches it to them? There's something special in that. There's something moving about it. I can tell, I think, a little bit of the idea. Years ago, my neighbor, Anna Mae Elliott, lived right across the street. And my wife, Tammy, came down and had cancer, and she was in the latter stages of that situation. And Anna Mae, across the street, got sick. She just was sick with the flu or whatever. And Tammy made her a pot of chicken soup, chicken vegetable soup, and took it over to her and said, Anna Mae, she knocked on the door and said, Anna Mae, I understand that you're not feeling well and I wanted to make you this soup. Do you know Anna Mae just stood there and bawled and said, I should have made you soup. That's what I'm talking about. There's things and opportunities that can only come in certain situations. And that was one of them. And there's something about that situation that touched the whole thing. She felt it. It's always like that. God's going to give spaces and times that the only emotional thing can happen only within the spectrum of that time. And so that's why it is so... That is so. It's why it's so outstanding at certain times that God touches in those moments. The woman that was caught in the very act of adultery is about to die and knows she's about to die. And Jesus does something and frees. And that brings an extreme emotional swing that causes something to happen that can otherwise never happen to a person. And so there's opportunities, and therefore, as much as we have opportunity, let us. Oh, I miss so many opportunities that I just have to sometimes say, Lord, forgive me for the opportunity I know I just missed. Either I didn't have the courage, or I wasn't bold, or I didn't take the time. One time, Brother Tony and I we went to see Sister Queen Zader. You remember her? I mean, you guys, somebody remember the name anyway. She was in a hospital in Parkersburg, and me and Brother Tony went and visited her. And we went and sung to her and prayed with her and stuff and visited her for a while. And I was at the door. Brother Tony was more inside. But I noticed this young girl, she kept coming to the door. She was listening to the song and listening to when we prayed, she was listening to that. I could see the look of the girl's face. I know in my heart that they needed something. They needed something, and the opportunity was there. And now it would be so easy for me to say, ma'am, can we help you with something? I'm so easy with that. But at the time, I was not easy at that at all. I was uneasy about those kind of things. And we actually walked out of there, me walking out with a pull on me. And we walked out of there and left forever. And I have no idea to confirm what my heart felt so strong that there was a need right there, and she was looking to get that need done with a loved one that was in there. And I have regretted it ever since. Lord, take the blinders off. Lord, give me, I had the sight, but I didn't have the bounty. Lord, give me the bounty to have a bountiful eye, to want to reach out to help those that are around there. You know, it don't take a lot. And I thank God it doesn't take rocket science. It wouldn't be me. It don't take great intelligence. It wouldn't be me. It doesn't take the special things of man. You know what it takes? It takes a loving heart and the Spirit of God. And you can touch people. You know, my greatest thing about that is not whether it had to do with a person getting well or not. My greatest fear was that it was eternal. That the moment that it had been brought to through Queen, Sister Queen, but the real reason was a soul, and it was eternal. Oh Lord, that it could have made a difference to somebody that's about to go out into eternity. So Lord, give us a bountiful eye. And just in closing, you remember the story of the writer of Pilgrim Progress? I think it was Bunyan, John Bunyan. Do you remember the story of that? He took the I think it took God a while to deal with him. But he stood on a principle and got through into prison. And the claim was is you can get out anytime you want to get out. Just sign this that you'll never preach anymore. And he wouldn't do it. It was the call of God on him. He wouldn't do it. And the story is that he was in there 13 years and he had a blind daughter, I think. And I mean, a terrible situation and all of that. But it was in that place that he wrote one of the most influential Christian writings ever that has challenged many, many people when God got him to the place. Do you know, I think if we open up and have a bountiful eye, you'll find the purpose and reasons in a lot of different ways. You may say somebody, well, I'm about done and I can't get out and I can't do this, or maybe this personality or this trait or this. That doesn't matter to God. God can use a bountiful eye wherever you can have one. You have a bountiful eye to be able to look to what God wants you to do and to help people and to reach out to people. It's right there. And if we actually realize, and I hope that we can come to this understanding, just how blessed we are here in this life, and I'm saying in the United States of America, how blessed, how richly blessed we are. Lord, help us to have a bountiful eye, to be able to touch people and help people, and I think we can make a difference. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.